Somebody wrote recently in reply to when I mentioned that I don't really feel there are people who are ready to hear what I'm ready to share. And at that level, nothing comes out because there's nothing to which I can respond. So somebody said, well, why don't you say it anyway? It's not so easy to say unless there's a feeling that there's somebody there that at least is open to hearing and allowing in something they can't understand. Because the defenses of the mind is right up in the front and it won't let in anything that it doesn't understand. Because it's threatening, and the job of the mind is to keep you safe and secure and predictable. So I'm going to say something now that unless you're in the zone, you can't understand it. And if you think you understand it, take it as a hypothesis, you don't. This cannot be understood. It's not something that the mind is capable of understanding. The words will be familiar. You've heard them many times. And the words are restricted, so they can't say what's attempting to be said. So, different people who wake up say it in different ways, but they say the same thing. Nothing matters. Nothing is like you think it is. And the key word is think. If you can think it, it's not that. Because that cannot be thought. Of course, there's a saying from the East that says, thou art that. But that is not something that can be thought. It's too vast. So whatever the mind's thinking, it's not that. But of course, the mind doesn't know that. The mind only knows what it thinks it knows. And it categorizes what it thinks it knows and doesn't know into different levels of importance. But in fact, none of that matters because there's something so vast, so encompassing. And not only are you part of that, you are that. Now this is where you all get lost. When you have a thought, you think it. You get engaged in the thought. And if you're very advanced, you may get caught up in the thought of not having a thought. It's still a thought. The mind can be so clever, it can say, you want silence? It pretends to be silent. Until you say, oh, I was silent. There it goes again. The mind has been designed to keep you safe and secure and predictable as possible, and it's there all the time. So it sees things and thinks that's the way they are. It makes decisions that it thinks is the best, but it has absolutely nothing to do with how things really are. How are things? You can't think it. It's not a thought. The brain does not have the capacity to have, you see, there's no word, the Tao, the hidden harmony, the kingdom of God, the peace that passeth all understanding. And none of those describe what it is. It's not describable. And you can't experience it. It happens when the identification to who you think you are is dissolved. As does happen in the Satori group. People do have that experience, for a while at least. It's vast. Now when you get this, you get that the mind has an entity of its own. And although it's part of existence, it's only a tiny, tiny, tiny part. It's been programmed according to certain criteria. Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Catholic, whatever. And then even within those things, it's been programmed to certain levels of that. Whether it's orthodox or more casual. Same as if you're an atheist, same thing. Same as if you believe in the Big Bang. It's all an idea. The mind cannot comprehend what we will term existence. That. The unformed. Now when this click happens, it becomes very clear, very, very, very clear, that you are not the behavior. You are not the body, you're not the mind, you're not the emotions. They're included in something, but you can see how they operate separately. You can see how they operate separately. And when you no longer invest in fear, and therefore try not to control in any way, thy will be done. You let go. Let's see what happens. Be with what is in that moment, just the way it is. Now when that happens, suddenly a separation. And you can see these patterns and these cellular memory acting themselves out, but you are no longer identified with them. So you see the mind so clearly, you say, oh, so the mind's saying that today. I wonder how long the mind's going to go on saying that. So we just got upset at that person. I wonder how long he's going to stay upset. It's seen. And it's not interfered with. Normally people go in there and fix or try to fix the upset. Oh, I need to be more this or more that. It's my fault, it's their fault, it's this fault, it's that fault. It tries to go in there. And of course then you're engaged in it, lost in it, caught up in it. When this other thing happens, it's, oh, that's going on. Now, will I do anything about it or shall I just let it go? Oh, I'll do something about it. I'll buy something, fix something, say something, do something, just to let the mind go down. Or I'll just wait, it'll go. As the Sufi saying says, this too will pass. But you see, what he's talking about is the behavioral side of the person. This other, the state does not pass. It doesn't come, it doesn't go. When you see the up as the down as the up, the in as the out, and the out as the in, it's it. When thine eye be single, when the seer and the seen are one, and until then, if you keep identifying with the mind, you'll be on the merry-go-round. Only it's not the merry-go-round, it's the sad around. You get on the wheel that goes on, and the mind says this, and then it says that, and it just goes on, and you're on that wheel. What they call in the East, the wheel of samsara, life and death, this and that, this side, that side, up, down, good, bad, right, wrong. Now, what to do about it? Because I always come to that. Well, what to do about it? Well, I say what to do about it. I say, be here now. And this isn't new, is it? You've heard that before. And then the brain says, ah. And then it decides what that means. No, it's not what the mind decides. I really mean be here now, this now, not what you're going to do with what you're hearing now. I mean, right now. Who are you? What's going on? It doesn't matter who's saying this, and it doesn't matter what they're saying. What's going on in you right now? What's going on in your body? What's going on in your emotions? What's going on in your mind? What are the sounds you can hear? This moment, now. And then don't get identified with anything. Float. Just float. Ah, this. Ah, that. But then you decide to do something just as an exercise. Which muscle do you use first? How do you get up to move? And when you move, how do you move? And while you're moving, what can you hear? What can you see? What can you taste? What can you smell? Here, now, moment to moment to moment. Because that's reality. But where are you? You're in your mind. I need to go to the toilet. So you're on the way to the toilet instead of being with each step. Open that door. Feel the doorknob. Feel the wind as it opens. The sound when you lower the seat. Be there. Be there. Be there. Oh, it's so simple. That's all it is. Be there. Be aware of what you're feeling. Be aware of anything. But don't get attached to it. Don't try and change it. Let it be just as it is. Because it is just as it is. Whatever you think or do about it, it's going to be the way it is. Let it be. Be there in each moment. And when you have a thought, whether it's unpleasant or whether it's pleasant, just watch. Don't get involved in it. Don't get caught up in it. Don't try and make it more if it's pleasant or less if it's unpleasant. Leave it alone. Let it be. And you'll be free. Just like that. What is often mentioned is that in order to watch the process of the mind, there needs to be a gap. And people don't have a gap. They feel they are the mind. They are that mood. They are that depression. They are that headache. And it does seem to be that way. The way we've been conditioned is, as soon as we see something, it should happen. And that can happen. Instantaneous awakening can happen. But it's not so likely. It's more like, if you want to play the piano, you've got to practice. And if you want to be a concert pianist, you've really got to practice. If you want to wake up, you've got to practice. As I was saying previously in another talk, if you go to somebody who appears to you to be awake or more awake than you are, and they make a suggestion, listen. Take what they say as a hypothesis and practice. Being a concert pianist is nothing compared to being awake. Practice, practice, practice. And you don't know whether it's going to work or not. You don't even know with what they've said is true or not. But for one thing, you do know absolutely for certain. Your way does not work. So if you're going to try something, try anything. But not your way that doesn't work. Or the way that anybody else's obviously doesn't work. Look for somebody that seems to be in that zone. And then listen. And even if you can't understand, and even if it doesn't make any sense to you, try it. And it has to be total. As I said before, it's no good partially trying it, because then the mind stays in control. It has to be total. If they suggest watch, watch. And you say, but I don't know how to watch. If your life depended upon it, you would put a lot more energy into it. If your doctor said, if you do that particular automatic thing again, your heart will stop, you will be much more alert. It has to be total. You have to really, really, really want to wake up. And there's nothing you can do to wake up except be aware of how asleep you are. So, it doesn't seem obvious, you don't have the gap, that's right. Got to practice. As a hypothesis, you don't know whether it's true or not, but what have you got to lose? Go for it. So, you ask, how to practice the gap? Practice. Try this. Try that. That didn't work. Try this. Try that. Try that. But you see, until it's your absolute priority in every moment, you won't do it. If your thought or your headache or you wanting to get there or not go there, or if anything is more important to you than what's actually happening in that moment, you won't do it. You keep practicing. You must have done this in some sport, or let's say the backhand of your tennis is hopeless. Keep practicing, keep practicing, keep practicing. And you say, but it's not improving, it's not improving. And then one day, there's a shift. It seems like nothing's happening, but you've got to keep looking, you've got to keep practicing. There's no gap, look for the gap. And at least take it as a hypothesis from somebody that's found the gap, that it is possible. You may not find it their way, as I keep saying, the Satori group. There's a very high possibility you're going to see the gap in the Satori group. And then, what else? Devote yourself to looking for that gap. Devote, as though your life depends on it, and in a way it does, because most people are not living. There's one other attribute you need to take very seriously. Don't take it seriously. Have fun. Still not clear? Let's say it again. When you open a drawer, that is your whole life. You can hear what's going on around. You're aware loosely of everything, but you are opening that drawer. That's your whole life. And when you close it, you feel the texture, you hear the noise, you hear what rattles on the inside, and then the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment, just what is in that moment.